Okay, I'm kind of like Joy. I don't normally title my sermons, but this one is called Will He or Won't He? One of my pet peeves is asking someone to do a task or consider a... I'm a little hot. Can you turn me down? Thank you. Consider an office or join a group, and their response is, I'll pray about it. To me, that is like saying, I don't want to do it, but I'm not going to say no right now, and maybe you'll ask somebody else. Or, I don't want to say no right now, but I'll say no the next time you ask me. I'm sure there are some who actually do pray about it, but for the most part, I consider it Christian speak for no. The other pet peeve I have is someone telling me that something is God's will, especially if it's a decision they have made that they don't think is going to be approved of. This may or may not be God's will, but we shouldn't attribute God's will to everything. We have free will to make decisions, and in many cases, the decisions have little or nothing to do with God's will, but with what we want. For instance, we hear about school shootings. Is that God's will? No, it was a decision the person with the gun made. My brother-in-law died in January. Was that God's will? Yes, I think so. I think his work here was done. My brother died young, I consider young, 68. Was that God's will? No. It was bad decisions he made about alcohol and drugs. So what is God's will? And how do we know? What does God's will mean? How does it manifest itself? And what do we do once we know? These are age-old questions, and I'm going to try to shed a little light on it. According to J. Scott Duvall, there are two categories of God's will. The first one is the one that God tells us in the Bible, and he calls that his revealed will. And the second one is called his mysterious will. The first one is what's revealed in the word of Scripture. In Matthew 7:21, it says, Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And in Matthew 12, he says, For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. So what does that mean? The Bible is clear that his will for us is to conduct our lives in a certain way as Christians, to follow his teachings. Micah 6:8 gives us a hint. It says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does God require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Okay, so Micah says, Here's what God told you. Now go do it. Jesus tells us in Mark 12, when asked what is the greatest commandment, is you are to love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. In other passages, we are told to turn the other cheek, that if someone takes our shirt, we're supposed to give them our coat as well. Don't judge, lest you be judged. The Sermon on the Mount talks about loving your enemies, giving to the needy, and so much more. There are so many verses, I can't quote them all. But I feel like if we aren't doing his will on that level, when he spelled it out in black and white, I don't believe he's going to reveal himself to us on a more intimate level. The instructions of his will for us in the Bible are very clear. Not easy, but clear. He also states in Romans 12, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I read this to say, Don't behave as the world behaves, but if you do, you will not be able to know God's will. And if you behave and think the way God wants you to, you will be able to see his perfect will for you. In order to fulfill these verses about how we are to behave on the earth, the Bible also tells us we must trust God. These are behaviors that don't come naturally because we're human. And Christ gave us free will, makes it a little more difficult. To see God's will for us, we must trust him completely with our lives. So how do we trust God completely? How do we live the kind of life that pleases God? How do we follow his will as he reveals it in the Bible? We do it because we love God and believe he has our best interest at heart. Proverbs 3:5 states, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." That passage is quoted often. How often do we pray to God and then take it back into our own hands? Bob, my husband, would say, you plant the seed and then you keep digging it up to see if it's growing. We lean on our own understanding. I know I've been guilty of that more than once, and it didn't turn out too well. To me, the equally important passage is the one after that, where it says, "In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." So if you trust in him and not in yourself, he will make your paths straight. So, as the song said, we need to trust and obey. We trust him and obey his will for us as written in the Bible. So that is the revealed will, and you can find many passages regarding this. So let's move on to his mysterious will. God is working behind the scenes all the time to work toward good and toward Christ's return. This is not revealed to us. We have to be able to discern his will. Discernment means to see into, to have knowledge, or detect, the ability to obtain spiritual guidance and understanding. We've been told in Scripture that God has a plan for us. Jeremiah 29, very familiar. It says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Okay, it says, he knows the plan. We don't. We trust. We wish we did. We wish we knew the plan because we like to be in control. But we have to trust him and the plan he has. How do we find out what the plans are? Well, in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything, but it's God's time, not ours. There is a saying that when God closes a door, he opens a window. I think that's true when we're discerning God's will in our lives. He will make it clear by either blocking an opportunity or be giving us a peace about a decision. I know I've had that happen to me where I think I'm going to do one thing and then whatever I needed doesn't happen and I end up having to go another way, and that's the way God wants me to go. And also, you can't escape God's will. Look at Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he chose a different path. God was not pleased and got his attention in a big way. He eventually did go to Nineveh and fulfilled God's will for him. And he wasn't pleased about it, but he did it. I don't believe we risk being swallowed by a fish if we choose not to obey God's will, but we do risk turning away from God and making mistakes. So we've talked about God's will as it is made obvious to us in the teaching of the Bible. Talked about trusting God with our lives in order to discern his mysterious will. But how do we do that? One of the ways to accomplish this is to ask God for strength and guidance. Basically, to pray. Psalm 43:10, David is asking God, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." That's what we need to do. I think sometimes we think it's going to be obvious and we're just going to sit there and poof, his will is just going to show up. Doesn't work that way. And Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer is essential if we're going to discern the will of God. Martha Sorensen teaches a class called Finding Your Spiritual Gifts. I hope that's what it's called. One of these gifts is discernment. Years ago, there was a lady who, upon taking the class, found out she had the gift of discernment. But she didn't understand what it meant. She thought it meant she could gift people with her opinion of them, how they dressed, and how they act, and how they looked. That's not discernment, that's judgment. Discernment is a way of perceiving God's word. This is done through study sometimes and being able to make a choice between options by looking at them through God's eyes. Discernment is not prophecy. It is not seeing the future. It is having the maturity to make a godly choice between things that God has put before us. I feel God shows this in a variety of ways. Over my 30 years in this church, there have been many changes. There have been projects that sounded exciting, and God chose not to have them work. I feel that in times when nobody is led to fill a position or head up a project, that's God's way of saying it's not what he wants us to do. I used to be the one who volunteered because nobody else did. I felt pressure to take on jobs out of a sense of obligation rather than a sense of calling. I'm sure many of you can identify with this. But that type of, if I don't do it, it won't get done, attitude is a choice and not always God's will. We can most clearly see God's will in hindsight. We can look back on our lives and see the places in which God showed us his will for us, which job to take, which church to attend, which person to marry. It's clear when we look back, but not as clear when we try to look forward. Often we can feel we know God's will, but it's just our own thoughts telling us what we want to hear. And I feel like if I'm the only one who hears God's will for a group and no one else agrees, that it's probably my will and not God's. And I believe all of this is true for this church. Our pastor chose to leave and take another ministry. That was hard, but I believe it was God's will for her and for us. All we can see right now is what we can't do, what we're missing, how small a group we are. That's not from God. We need to focus on what we can do. We often don't see God's will right away, but I believe we will look back and see it was God's will to put us in this situation. It has already made us work more closely with our sister congregations, the Karen and the Sudanese. It has made us rely on each other more and not take any person for granted. We need to trust God with our future, whatever that might be. But doing nothing is not an option. Not exploring all options is putting your head in the sand and hoping it'll go away. We need to explore options so we can discern God's will, make the right choice. To discern God's will, we have to have choices. We need to move forward without fear, to trust God, to know that he loves us and wants what's best for us, as a group and as individuals. His will may not look anything like what we expect or want, but we know his will is perfect. So back to the questions I posed at the beginning. What is God's will? It's God's plan for our lives. It is in his instructions as how to behave and treat others, his written instructions in the Bible. How does his will manifest itself? in many ways, in a desire to do something, in the advice of a trusted friend, in a sermon, in a thought. It is a peace felt about a decision. It's a clarity that comes when things seem kind of foggy. And what should we do with it? Well, we follow it. We move ahead with trust that God is in the decision, and we obey his leading. Let us do that today. Amen.